Joe Biden is the president-elect. So Joe Biden is the president-elect and going to be the 46th president of the United States of America. And Kamala Harris is going to be the vice president-elect, the first African-American / South Asian descendant female vice president we've ever had. I mean, this is truly, truly amazing. And we are throwing a party right here on this show because we love both of them. We truly love both of them. And it's just the way that we are, man. I mean, you know, Paul and I love them. I got to tell you, well, let me get Paul over quick because I got to pull her in there. When all of us heard Joe Biden was the winner, I mean, it brought tears to all of our eyes. I'm sure Paula cried. Paula, did you even cry? I cried. And it was just like, it was an emotional, I got to be honest with you, I felt the stress come right off my shoulder. I mean, I felt so much better. Like, I felt like, I don't know. I just felt like there was like this big weight lifted off our shoulders, and the stress of that Trump's bullshit was finally at an end. And I got to be honest with you, in Ohio, because Ohio obviously voted for Trump and Trump won Ohio, but in Ohio, it's like a death occurred because all these Trump people are just like really quiet right now. You know what I mean? I have not heard them coming out and saying stuff around here in my area. It's pretty much like they put their signs away. It was weird. So I don't know what the hell's going on, but I think that they're feeling their defeat, and it's what we had to feel in 2016. Unfortunately, it's a bad feeling, and I feel bad for them that they lost, but we can work together as a nation. We should work together and be unity. Follow what Joe Biden wants to do because he really has a way of working with everyone across the aisle. And we should give him a chance. That's all I'm asking. We gave Donald Trump a chance, and he didn't do what he should have in 4 years. So let's try Joe Biden and see what he does. Give him a chance. And if he does, if he fucks up and it's really bad, then I'll say, yeah, I told you so. Or I say, well, you can tell me you told me so. How about that? And then I'll agree with you. But let's give him a chance first. What do you think, Paula?
I agree. It's like, you know, with Trump, everything he did was wrong. Everything. But with Biden, it's like he's wanting, I mean, even at his age, think about that. He's a viable, he's a viable older man. He has plans in action, like to help with coronavirus, like to help with the financial situation. It's like there are people, and this is something that Trump did not get. You help with the coronavirus, you help with the financial situation in this country. The people that are getting evicted from their homes, the people standing in line at food banks, coronavirus is curtailed, which Trump has always said, it's no big deal. It'll go away in a couple of days, or let's inject some bleach. Maybe that'll help clean it out. Or it's turning around.
It's turning around. We're turning around the corner, baby.
When we've had more, we've had more deaths in this country than any other country in the world. Trump says and lies to us, it's turning around. I mean,
well, it hasn't. COVID-19 numbers have actually the rise in deaths per day is now like, isn't it like 5,000 now per day that they're having? It's like it's a real high number. So if you check it out, it's really high like that. It's like out of fucking control is what it is.
Okay. Let me see if I can find it.
And while you look that up, our governor is really thinking about shutting Ohio back down again because we are in the high numbers, like really bad.
Yeah. Okay. So, according to stats, there was over 2,068 deaths.
And
even in my county, and I live in a small city, there have been four deaths. 401 cases, 401 cases, four deaths.
Really?
And I hadn't been, hadn't been feeling good. So I thought about maybe I have it. But I took my temp tonight, and I don't have a temperature. Hang on. I got a tickle again. As soon as I start talking, I get a tickle. Hang on.
Tickle, tickle, tickle. Here I come.
Tickle, tickle, tickle. So
that's how many you have in your county. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to check my count.
I'm looking at this. In this country.
Oh, fuck. There we go. In this country altogether?
We've had 243,257 deaths. Because of coronavirus. Think about that.
Oh, my God.
And yet, our idiot president says, it's rounding the curve.
Mm-hmm. Check this out. In my county, this is fucked up because we weren't this high. I can't believe it was this high. 3,420 confirmed cases, 41 deaths. In Ohio, we have a total of 245,727 confirmed cases in Ohio, and 5,506 deaths.
Okay.
That's bad.
And yet, every viable doctor in the country, every doctor, like Dr. Fauci, there are other doctors that go on CNN. They say this could all be slowed down if we wore a fucking mask.
Yes. That's all we got to do.
I mean,
but people don't want to.
When I went into the liquor store today, to get my Osti Spumani.
Mm-hmm.
There's a message on the door. And the owners of my liquor store are Sikhs. Do you know what that is? They wear turbans on their head because the men grow their hair long and they put a turban to wrap their hair up in. They're not Muslim. Not anywhere close to being Muslim. But their religion, I have looked and studied their religion because these people are the people I go to all the time for my liquor. It's a very peaceful. It's a very peaceful, kind, let's be kind to everyone religion. And yet people look at them with the turbans on their head and think they're terrorists. They're not Muslims. It's a different religion than what the Islamic religion is. But, you know, I usually go through the drive-thru. But because I wanted the Osmani, I parked the car and went in with my cane. I have to walk in with my cane, go up the stairs, go in, have the guy help me put it in the car, because I'm an old fart. And they say you have to wear a mask. And so I dug, before I got out of the car, I saw the sign, dug through my purse, found a mask, and put it on. I mean, I don't go to Walmart to pick up groceries. And those people don't even have to come to my window. But I put a mask on so they can put groceries in my back seat.
Well,
I mean, if,
cool.
If people would only wear a freaking mask, it would help. So coronavirus is spread by the when you speak. And even the mildest of sprays from your mouth can spread coronavirus to someone else. So for those people saying, well, I don't have to wear a mask, you may have coronavirus and don't know it. You may have coronavirus and have no symptoms. But if you have it and you're spreading it, someone else may catch it and die. So what you're doing, is you are protecting not only yourself, but the people around you. You know, let's just say grandson went to meet grandma. And he has coronavirus and doesn't know it because he's one of those people that doesn't have symptoms, doesn't have a temperature, doesn't feel sick. You know, there are people like that out there with coronavirus, but they have it, and they go to see grandma, and grandma is older and she's got high blood pressure. And maybe diabetes, or, you know, like me, diverticulitis, because that's actually a trigger. What I have is diverticulitis. It's an intestinal disease. What if you have the virus and you go to see grandma? And you hug and kiss on her, and you give it to her, and she dies because you had it, didn't know you had it, but yet you gave it to grandma. There are so many cases. All of Trump rallies, there's like 3,000 cases of coronavirus cases. That have come from his rallies. Because people weren't wearing masks and they weren't social distancing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, you know, he's been so full of shit. See, I got it and I'm okay. You'll be okay.
Yeah. Even if he truly had the damn thing, you know.
Well, you know, this is the thing, Melania. damn it, Melania and his son Barrett got it. damn it, Darren was okay with him. He got over it real quick. But Melania had worse effects than Donald did, and she's a lot younger than he is. You cannot go by those people that are saying, well, I didn't die from it. I didn't get sick from it. I didn't die because Donald Trump didn't die. And he's all right. He lived. It is a strange, unpredictable pandemic virus.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. I got a cough again. Hang on. Damn it. I'm trying to move my mic out of the way. So, I mean, it's unpredictable. Who won't even feel symptoms from it? And the other people that will die from it. It's unpredictable. So everyone should be protecting everyone else by wearing a mask.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yep.
Ran over.
No, that's okay. I agree. I think that everybody should wear a mask. And it's so important. I mean,
what else do we want to talk about?
I like, so one thing I wanted to say is, and I really wanted to say, because I forgot to say this, but we have to give a big gratitude, big thanks, a big gratitude, whatever you want to call it. But I would say a big special thanks to Stacey Abrams for what she did in Georgia with Joe Biden, you know, getting out the votes and registering people. And I mean, there was like, I think it was over 800,000 voters that she registered to get out to vote. And so she really pushed for Joe Biden in the state of Georgia. I mean, she really helped him out a lot.
I agree. Oh, my God, I agree. Because Georgia is one of those southern states where racism is rampant. It always has been. And she ran for governor, didn't she?
Yes.
I think it was governor. And she lost, but she brought out all these people that would have never voted before had she not ran and promoted herself and the Democratic Party. Because in Georgia, it's one of those states that goes, my vote won't count. Even if I voted, my vote won't count. And it's full
right.
of African, it's full of African Americans. Atlanta is very African American orientated. Savannah, where my gay friends live, is very liberal, and a lot of LGBT people live. There are gay bars in Savannah.
Oh.
And they post pictures of the ocean on their Facebook, and it's like, oh my God, it's so gorgeous. They got married. My gay couple friend, two men, got married on the boardwalk into the ocean, and it was just absolutely gorgeous where they got married, and then they went and celebrated in a beach bar that's like has a roof over it but open on the sides. You know what I'm talking about?
Right, yeah.
There's bars on the Ohio. There's bars on the Ohio River like that, where Devana used to play.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's
kind
where Gino
had Pirate Cove.
Oh, that's it. That's the one.
Yeah, Pirate's Cove.
Pirate's Cove. That's where Gino asked me to marry him.
Did he really?
Yep. Yep.
That big slime ball.
Yeah. That's where he asked me to marry him. And, I mean, he got down in front of the whole freaking crowd. I didn't know what was going on. I noticed he was drinking more than usual, but I didn't know why. It's because he was getting his nerve up.
Oh, my God.
And then Devana was playing. They were playing. The band was playing. And she goes, all of a sudden, she goes, so now one of my friends wants to ask another friend something. And Gino gets up on the stage, gets down on his knee in front of everybody, in front of the whole bar, and it was packed, and asked me to marry him. And then Devana and Jeff played My Girl.
Oh.
My Girl.
That's why you don't.
And so every time I hear My Girl,
like
I want to.
That's right?
Every time I hear My Girl, I want to puke.
And the funny thing is, I love that song. I don't know why. I just always liked that song.
Oh,
but
well,
now.
Well, I love it. I love it. But it just, you know, it brings back memories that.
You start thinking about Gino. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, I totally understand.
But anyway,
that's
yeah. Weird. Yeah, like. Yeah, but, yeah, that was Pirate's Cove. So, yeah, so
yeah.
That's where, like, in Georgia, that's where, you know, it's kind of the same thing. In Georgia, my friends got married on the boardwalk out into the ocean. And and this is another thing. And we should talk about this. Had her way, she would take their marriage away from them. She would null and void their marriage. This is my thing, and I didn't used to think this way. I used to have mixed feelings about the LGBT community and their relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Open-minded. You have to become open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
As somebody, you know, these people used to hide in their closets and not tell their families and have mental problems because they were gay and they couldn't tell anybody and commit suicide or be killed by people that didn't like the gay community. And, you know, it's like when you look on it, who are you to judge somebody because they love someone of the same sex? I mean, there's nothing in the Bible about gay sex. There's nothing. Absolutely nothing. And God only looks down for love. It's love. Love, 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 love. Light, 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 light. So, going to be God's general and tell people that they can't have a relationship with somebody of the same sex even though they love them with all their heart and soul? Who are you to judge? You're not. Only God
That's right.
is.
And then, like it says in the Bible, you know, if you judge, you'll be judged yourself.
Yeah, less. How does it go? Thus
how
not...
does it go?
I'm trying to think of the. I'm trying to. I know the Bible verse
is
on the tip of my tongue.
Let's not judge.
Judge
thy
not.
Be judged.
Judge not. Judge not, lest thee be judged.
There you go. That's it.
Yep. That's it. Yep.
I was trying to think of it there.
And in
so,
fact,
that's crazy.
And in fact, the King James of the King James Bible was totally bisexual, and is he leaned toward the men, not the women. He wrote love letters to young men and made sure they were in his bedchamber or in his favorites connecting to in a bedroom connected to his bedchamber. Men, this is the author of the King James Bible, the one that is in churches. So, for anybody thinking that the Bible is strictly against gay sex, the man who had the Bible interpreted was a gay man. Okay, next subject.
All right, so actually what I would like to do is, hang on a second, Paula. Just give me 2 seconds, sweetie.
Okay.
Give me 2 seconds.
Okay.
So I'm going to do it real quick, Paula. We're going to play tonight, Saturday Night Live did a skit, and I always love their skits when they do this shit. So this is the first time I got to hear it. So here is Saturday Night Live, and this is about Joe Biden winning the election, Trump on his concession, and Kamala Harris. So let's just take a listen and see what it says. Here it is.
What has become election week in America? I'm Wolf Blitzer, and I've been awake so long, my weird stubbly beard finally makes sense. I'm joined by John King, who's been operating our touchscreen for the past 85 hours.
Yeah.
How are you, John?
Oh, I'm great, Wolf, thanks. You know, my fingers are nubs, but I think that's normal.
And for the folks at home who've been obsessively watching cable news all week, we've been teasing a big announcement, and today it's finally here. CNN can now project that Joe Biden will be the next president of the United States. I'm supposed to be a neutral news anchor, but God damn it, that feels good! President-elect Biden, who is taking the stage in Wilmington, Delaware.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you very much, America. We did it! Honestly, kind of can't. It's been so long since something good happened. Sure, it took forever. We kept edging closer and closer. It was like having sex with Sting. But what a release, man. I've never felt so alive, which is ironic because I'm not that alive. And look, as I've said many times, I don't care whether you voted for me or not. I'm going to be a president for all Americans. That's right. A liberal state like California, or a conservative state like Oklahoma, or a cracked out hot mess like Florida, I will be your president, and I will have an incredible VP at my side, Senator Kamala Harris.
Right now, I just want to say this. The reason your mom is laughing so much tonight is because she's drunk. And the reason she's crying is because she's drunk. Your mom is going to switch from laughing to crying to dancing pretty much all night. And it's not because she's crazy, it's because she's drunk.
Tonight, we're not going to stand here and gloat.
Well, maybe.
We're not rubbing our victory in everybody's face.
But like just a tiny bit.
We're humbly accepting this victory.
Exactly. And I'm just going to play a quick song on my phone.
For just a moment, because people don't just want to see Biden and Kamala happy, they also want to see Trump sad. So let's check in on the president's concession speech, which I'm sure will be gracious and factual.
Good evening. Thank you for coming to watch my victory speech tonight. As anyone who died halfway through Tuesday knows, I was reelected president of the United States. But of course, they're trying to steal the election away from me. Come on, let's hear it. Stop the count. Stop the count. What's that? I'm behind. Oh, okay. Then count all the votes. Every last vote. But we all know this election was rigged. Just look at the map. There was no blue wave. It was a red wave across the whole country. Show them the map, Kaylee. See? So much red. So much red.
This is the COVID map.
Okay, the map's not important, okay? Put the map away. No one wants to see the map. Thank you, Candy. The fact is, I was winning on Tuesday, then they started whittling away my votes, whittling them down until there was only a little bit left. But I vow to all my supporters, I will fight this thing to the bitter end. I will never give up, and neither should you. Hey. Let me remind all of you who I really am. Macho, macho man. I've got to be a macho man. Macho, macho man. I've got to be a macho man. And this isn't goodbye, America. I'm just going to say, see you in court.
Well. President Trump, we do accept the results of this election.
We're not mad at them. We have to act graciously in victory, though. We need to go forward together. Unfortunately, there are situations in life, and this is one of them, where there must be a winner and loser.
Oh my God, that was funny. I'll have to watch the whole video though. That was good.
That was hilarious.
It was funny. I loved it. We had to play, I was like, oh my God, that was funny when she played in Kamala. She's like, if I offend you, I don't give a shit.
I know. On live TV.
Yeah. Oh my God, that was funny.
I heard, speaking of Kamala's husband, I saw, I think it was Anderson Cooper, who called him the first dude.
Yeah, the first dude, yeah. He's like, it's the first man, first dude.
He called him the first dude.
Only Anderson would do that.
I know.
I love Anderson.
I know. And the funny thing is that, you know, he's the one who called Trump like a turtle flailing on his back.
Yeah.
And then when they brought on what's his name? Some guy, one of the guys that ran for president, too, the Asian guy. I can't remember his name.
Oh, Andrew Yang?
Yeah. He told Anderson that he loved that wording. And Anderson goes, just for the record, he goes, I apologize for using that wording. And I'm thinking, no, don't apologize. It was great. It was perfect. So,
that was good.
It was really good. It was funny. Trump was like a turtle on his back flailing.
That's a good analogy of him.
Yep. Yep. So
we have everything that's going on in the election. Mm-hmm. Of course, all the stuff that's happening as far as Trump trying to contest everything. So, What do you think is going to happen? What do you truly think is going to happen?
I think he's going to try. I think he's going to... He's already said he's a sore loser. And my best friend in South Carolina, which is very Republican, very all Trumpsters, but she wasn't. And I sent her that, like I sent you, that statement from the president saying that he was, and she said the same thing, he's a sore loser. And so I think he's going to contest it. I think he's going to try. I'm like you. You said it earlier. I think he's going to try and contest it. And the judges are going to go, fuck you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because all eyes are going to be on that right there.
I've seen a couple of commentators on CNN going, you know, Trump is saying it's fake. There were, you know, votes that were falsified. He's saying, you know, these commentators are going, if there is, if it is, bring it on. Bring it on. Prove it. Prove it.
Yeah, put your money where your mouth is.
Exactly. Put your money where your mouth is. Because, you know, like my Trumpster friend I explained tonight, you know,
yeah.
He's saying, well, you know, all the mail-in ballots weren't signed. Do you seriously think the polling places, the state of this, your state, doesn't have your signature? They have to have your signature on
exactly.
on your applications to vote. They have your signature on their application. They do.
Yep.
And
that's
so,
right.
It's so updated and so smart these days that they put this information into computers. And if they slide a ballot, if they're flicking through, you know, one after the other, one at a time, boom, 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 all these ballots, and a signature doesn't match, and it kicks it out, do you think they're not going to investigate that ballot and try and look? I mean, seriously?
Exactly.
Give me a break.
They will know.
I mean, I said it earlier. This election has been so important. The ballot counters have been so... they have been so... You got to love them.
They were
up for days. They were up for days and night doing this. God love them.
I know.
I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine how worn out these people are?
Yeah. They'd be taking a vacation. And they're a lot of them are volunteers, or they're only getting paid minimum wage.
You're right. And they work their butts off.
And let's just put this in the mix. Every polling place, when they match you up, you're a Republican and a Democrat. So if you're sitting at a table and you're counting these ballots, there's going to be a Republican, a Democrat, a Republican, a Democrat, a Republican, a Democrat. You know what I'm saying? So it's not just Democrats counting them.
No. I mean, no. It's bipartisan, which means it doesn't matter what party you're voting for. They have a job to do to make sure they take an oath. They take an oath. And if they were doing something wrong, they would be caught, out, and fired.
Mm-hmm. And one of the locations where they're bitching about them using Sharpie markers or something.
Yeah, I think that was in, where was it? I think it was Georgia. And, you know, and the thing is that that's what they were told to use.
Mm-hmm.
They were told to use Sharpies. And they did what they were supposed to do, And yet the Republicans in that state filed a lawsuit and the judge threw it out.
I cannot believe that. I cannot believe they're trying to accuse him. Well, see, that's the whole thing. And the thing is, and this is probably a good point to make out, but where they're trying to accuse them, you know, where Trump and all of them are trying to accuse of this voter bullshit, these are Republicans who are coming out and going against him, saying, no,
right.
You know, there's nothing going on here. There's no voter fraud. There's none of this. And so, and that's why I was trying to say it's not like a Bush-Gore thing. It's almost, but it's way different than what we see in 2000, where they had cameras in these places. So we could actually witness what they were doing. And then these Republicans are coming out and actually backing up the democracy, including that dumbass down in Alabama, Georgia. The one that stole the election from Stacey Abrams.
What's his name?
What's his name? Brian Kemp? Is that his name, Brian Kemp?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they had to have taken their cue from Donald Trump. This, you know, I'm 67 years old. I've seen a lot of political bullshit in my time. But the GOP, the Republicans under Trump, are the most crooked, underhanded, lying bunch of son of a bitches I've ever seen.
Yeah, I've never seen it like it myself. This is the worst one ever. I mean,
right. I mean, and this is all under Donald Trump. So think about that. What kind of fucking influence? He's probably going to these guys, this senator, and saying, come on, I need you in my corner. Help me out here.
Yeah.
Find something wrong.
Well, and then you have the ass kissers, Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham. They're definitely trying to kind of go with Trump on it, and they're sucking his balls and everything. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, and I can't believe that I just tripped wine on my foot. Damn it! Shut up. I can't believe that Amy McGrath didn't win over Mitch McConnell.
Me too. I can't believe that Kentucky gave that fucking rat bastard another term to fuck up their state. I mean,
right. And I have a Facebook friend, a female Facebook friend, who lives in Kentucky, she's done everything in her power to keep her friends from voting for him. And because she's like you and me, she sees through all this mean, nasty bullshit. And she couldn't, I mean, I tried to help her out with some of her friends, you know, explaining to them this and that and this and that, and nobody cares.
Right.
They didn't care. You know, it's like, okay, Mitch, I mean, people in Ohio, Kentucky is right across the river from Ohio. You know how poor those people are.
Oh, yeah.
They're poor. They live in rural, backwards country, you know, small little towns like Rabbit Hash and whatever. And they just, I think personally, I think they see his name on the ballot, even though he's a millionaire and lives in a big, fancy mansion. These people see his name on a ballot and just go, well, I know this guy, so I'm going to vote for him. That's what I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I don't think what's behind voting for him. I don't think they think what he's all about. I really don't think so. I think they just say, oh, Mitch McConnell, I know him. I'm voting for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll just vote for him. I know what he looks like. He's the one that was on Saturday Night Live with his talking about his blood leaving his body. Oh, what's going on with my hands? The blood's trying to leave my body. It don't like me either.
I mean, I just cannot believe that these poor, poor people living in trailer homes in the backwoods of Kentucky, this millionaire senator living in a mansion and not understand what he's all about. He's all about screwing you people.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
As long as I get my way and I make my money, I don't give a, he's like Trump, I don't give a flying fuck about you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what he's all about. I'm almost out of my Austi.
Yeah, that's how he's always, I mean, that's obviously it's how he's always been. If you look at videos from a long time ago of how he was, it is, even personally before the presidency, he was pretty screwed up.
Yeah. I mean, it's like when Obama was in office. I mean, this is not including now. When Obama was in office, he had 300 bills on his desk that he was asked to look at that would help the American people. That would help. Let me repeat that. That would help the American people. And he ignored them and left them in the pile on his desk. He didn't give a flying fuck, just like Trump. He didn't care. He didn't care. And it makes me wonder, now that he's still in office, you know, Joe Biden is able to reach across the aisle and connect with his opponents. But it makes me wonder how he's going to reach across the aisle, connect with Mitch McConnell.
Exactly. That's what I'm wondering.
I think it's going to be about the same as with Obama.
Yeah, it will. Yeah, I think so, too.
I mean, even CNN has been talking about this. How is Biden going to deal, even though he's he has this ability to reach across the aisle. That's because that's how him and John McCain became such great friends. Biden and John McCain on opposite parties became great friends. And McCain's wife, even though he's passed away, his widow came out and supported Joe Biden. It makes you wonder how in the hell it's going to work out. Is Joe going to be able to reach across the aisle with Mitch McConnell and pass some bills that are good for the American people when he wouldn't do it for Obama? If he does, I'm going to say this right now. My honesty is all gone.
Damn, girl.
Yeah. I should have bought 2 bottles. This is good stuff. And you know what? I'm not as shit-faced as I usually am.
Yeah.
Can you tell?
I can tell, yeah, actually.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? This is in the news here. This is Yahoo News. It says the Trump campaign lawyers may have violated Privacy Act and USPS rules in Nevada voter fraud lawsuit. So they're in trouble. They're actually being in trouble. And it says the Trump campaign may have violated U.S. Postal Service regulations, privacy law, in order to course advocating for a voter fraud case in the state of Nevada.
Okay, so, I mean, so what else does the article say? Why are they in trouble?
So what they did is, here's what kind of the article says a little bit. So the Trump campaign shifted strategies on Thursday to a victory. The campaign filed 3 lawsuits, 2 of which were tossed out within hours, and announced a 4th in Nevada, which would allege thousands of cases of criminal voter fraud, including allegedly deceased people. When that lawsuit was filed, however, neither Trump campaign nor the Republican Party were attached. Instead, it was brought in to Nevada's federal court by a state resident, an accredited member of the media, who also described himself as the right-wing one American News, as a senior advisor to the Nevada Republican Party and the congressional campaigns for Nevada Republicans, Dan Rodmer and Jim Merchant. While the lawsuit mentions over 3,000 instances of ineligible individuals casting ballots, that is not included among the actual legal charges. Instead, those counts stuck to allegations regarding signature verification and observer access to ballot tabulations. However, that evening, Trump's campaign chief spokesman, Tim Murtaugh, posted a criminal referral, which the campaign lawyers had sent to Attorney General William Barr, allegedly fraudulent voting by non-residents of Nevada. The letter was written by Las Vegas corporate law estate planning a real estate attorney, Shanna Weir, in conjunction with the Washington area firm, called Barr's attention to the criminal voter fraud in Nevada. On the merits, suit appears thin. Nevada residents do not need to provide an official U.S. Postal Service address in order to register to vote. Clark County Voter Registration Joseph Gloria told USA Today that while the county would look into the allegations, there was no evidence of any abnormalities. Their complaint is based on something that happened regularly, he said. You don't have to live here to be eligible to vote here. Nothing less, the Department of Justice is reviewing the federal reviewing the referral, an agency official told USA Today, at the time, Weir's letter to Barr raised a question of how the campaign had access, here it is, had accessed the official postal service change of address database known as the NCOA link, which may be a violation of federal law. Specifically, we have identified 3,062 individuals who appear to have improperly cast a mail ballots in this election, Weir wrote, echoing the federal lawsuit. We verified this by the cross-referencing of the names and addresses of the voters within the National Change of Address database. So what they did is they accessed the database, which is actually illegal for them to do that.
Oh. Oh, shit.
Dumbasses. So here's what the here's what this says, a little piece of this. Unauthorized users may run afoul of the Privacy Act of 1974, and specifically 5 U.S. Code 552A, and according to the Postal Service, no agency shall disclose any record which is contained in a system of records by any means of communication to any person or to another agency except pursuant to a written request by or within the prior written consent of the individual to whom the record pertains to. So they did this without doing that.
They fucked up.
Yeah, they're gonna be going to fucking jail themselves.
Oh my God.
Can you believe that, C?
So in other words, you have to think about it like this. The Trump campaign is doing whatever they think they could do to invalidate votes.
Yes. That's what they're doing.
No matter if they're legal or not legal, they are... Well, no matter if they're legal, I should say illegal, because obviously they were legal.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm telling you, man, so they're breaking any laws they can to try to do this.
Yeah. And you know, you know what comes to mind? Giuliani is behind this.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I think Giuliani is behind this kind of illegal bullshit.
I do, too.
I mean, he's doing whatever it takes to help his man, no matter if it's legal or not. I've already heard that Giuliani is behind a lot of this. Whatever it takes to try and get Trump back in action.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. He's...
And this reminds me, and this is beside the point, and I... Donald Trump Jr. is inciting violence.
Yes. That's right. I'm glad you brought that up.
He's inciting violence against Democrats, which, you know, everybody thinks he's on cocaine to begin with, or meth, or maybe he's stealing his daddy's Adderall.
have an Adderall party.
And so, in other words, Donald Trump Jr. is standing by the Proud Boys and the Boogaloos.
Trying to get them to uprise, isn't he?
Right. And that reminds me, I just, from what I'm hearing and the link you sent me and from my local friends, that Little Rock is one of the foremost cases. Yeah, foremost cases for militia groups to come out and protest with their weapons.
Yeah, I've seen that.
With their fucking weapons.
Yeah, I heard that. I read somewhere they were on the courthouses today or somewhere doing this.
Yeah,
they actually they were. Yeah.
Yeah, you sent me the link, but I already knew that through my local friends. It's like I'm on a group with, and I don't post on it, but I read it. It's like mm-hmm. Arkansas for Biden, and people were saying, so where do we go today to celebrate? And they said, don't go to the... don't go to the governor's house.
Oh yeah.
Because they were standing on the steps and the sidewalk with their weapons, with this militia group standing on the sidewalk and the steps of the governor's home with her waiting for some action. And you know they said you know where they said to go?
Huh.
It was the high school, which is no longer in no longer active. There's no longer classes, but it was the. Do you remember? I think it was during the 60s when they integrated the schools, and the black girl went to school with guards beside her to go into what was that? The Little Rock. Oh God, think of it. Well, I mean, I can't remember all this, even though I'm. But in the 60s, the first girl to go to an integrated high school was here in Little Rock, an hour from me. And the white kids were following her and spitting on her and calling her names. And she's marching up the sidewalk with her books in her hand. It's a high school. And it's no longer a high school. It's no longer active. But that's where the Arkansas people were being told to go for Biden. I can't
really
remember the name of that. Yeah. That's where they were told to go. It was totally appropriate for these people to go there to celebrate Biden because of its history. It's got a history. It's still standing. The high school is still standing, but nobody goes to it anymore. I can't remember.
Huh.
What was it? North Little Rock High School? Is that what it was? I think it might have been.
Sure.
can't remember. But, I mean, this high school in history was history. Because of that first girl walking into a integrated high school for the first time. With all the cheers, with all the cheers and all the spitting and the name calling, and she had to have armed guards and police officers beside her in order to help her walk into that school. It's like Rosa Parks sitting on the bus in the front seat.
Yes.
It's the same idea. And that happened in Little Rock, an hour from me. That was the first integrated high school in the country.
Wow. I remember that, like seeing on TV and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know there's documentaries about it on YouTube, I'm sure. But, yeah. So that's where my local Biden, Arkansas friends were told to go for their celebration to the high school. So
that's interesting. I mean, yeah, I remember, you know, seeing the history back in the day.
Yeah, it will go down in the history books as being the first integrated high school in Little Rock, an hour from me. Yeah. So, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. And I've seen a video of that girl walking. And pictures, girl. I can't remember her name. I don't know her. I wish I knew her name because that would be so important. But, yeah, I remember seeing pictures of her walking into the high school with boys with, like, 50s and 60s slick back haircuts and the girls with, you know, that time era haircut, following her and spitting on her and yelling at her and jeering at her while she had policemen around her. Are you looking it up?
Yeah. She was a student at Little Rock Central High School.
That's it.
Hazel Brian Masary.
That's it.
Hazel Brian Masary.
Yep.
A photograph that showed her shouting at Elizabeth Eckford, one of the Little Rock's nine during the school integration crisis.
Yeah. Yeah. That high school was the first school in the country to be integrated. Can you imagine? Yeah. Can you imagine how brave she was? Can you imagine her mindset? Can you imagine that?
Well, I mean, man.
That would be so scary. But yet she knew she was doing something that was so, so important.
Okay, the black girl's name was Elizabeth Eckford, it was her name.
Okay.
It was one of the Little Rock Nine, they called it, during the school
yeah.
integration. That's a.
What else
huh.
does it say? What else does it say?
It says, a little integration president. It says on September 4th, 1957, nine African American students entered the Little Rock Central High School as the students' first black as the school's first black students, including Elizabeth Eckford, on her way to the group school. On her way to school, a group of white teenagers followed the Eckford chanting, 2, 4, 6, 8, we don't want to integrate. One of these girls, Hazel Bryan, told Benjamin Frye of New York Times, later described her as screaming, just hysterical, just like one of these Elvis Presley hysterical deals where these kids are fainting with hysteria. Bryan is also credited as shouting, go home nigga, go back to Africa. After the photo became public, Hazel started to receive critical mail, mostly from the North author David Moglick, who wrote, while Hazel only found the criticism surprising, Hazel's parents, though, found her suddenly sufficient alarming to pull her out of school. Bryan left her new school. She was 17 and married Antoine Massery and became a began a family. After that, her attitude towards Martin Luther King Jr. and the concept of desegregation changed. So that's pretty much what she is. That's the girl. She is now that black the girl, the black girl, Elizabeth Ann Eckford, went through the public ordeal. It says Arkansas National Guard came in. I'm just reading through some of this to see what it says.
Okay.
The image by counts prompted President D. Eisenhower to send federal troops to Little Rock when he saw the picture.
Yeah.
Huh. That's a lot of information there. I remember seeing it on TV. And you remember even in Forrest Gump? Remember where Forrest Gump goes walking in the school?
No, I don't remember that thing.
Yeah, yeah, he's in that too. He's in the. It was that.
that was a big movie. I don't remember everything.
I know there's a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah, it was a great movie though.
It was a great movie. That's probably one of the. To me, I love Forrest Gump. It was a nice movie. And Diana Tobes.
Well, on a lighter mood, I like Tom Hanks. My most favorite movie is The Green Mile.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Well, you know what was the black guy's name?
Oh, yeah, I can't remember his name in the movie.
He was so sweet.
Yeah.
He was a big, huge man with a big old heart.
Yeah, he did.
And psychic abilities and healing abilities.
Yeah, he would take all the bad stuff and he'd breathe it in.
He took the cancer away from what's the leader of the prison?
The warden's
wife. He took the cancer from the warden's wife, and he put it into that evil son of a bitch.
Yes. Yeah, it was the one that was like always beating him, so the weird guy.
Yeah. Yep.
He was a guard, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he was a mean guard. It was mean. So, yeah. So, you know, it's like I look at that movie and I think of Gino. Because Gino was able to do that kind of shit.
Oh, yeah.
He really was. Yeah.
He was exactly what that would be. That's pretty sad. I mean, that's what...
I'll tell you more about that later. What he did for a gal in Canada.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Canada.
He blew her boyfriend's light bulbs out.
Really?
Yeah, with so much. He had so much energy, and that's why it's so sad what he came to. Yeah. He did. He had the ability to astral travel.
Yeah.
And he blew her boyfriend's light bulbs out. And he could see
no
his
shit.
Reaction. Yeah.
Damn, girl.
Yeah. The dude was... He said the dude was blown away. He didn't know why his light bulb, like, blew up.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. Oh, my God.